This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join us here. We're kicking off the second hour of the show. Open at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160 in the studio tonight. Ian
and Aria.
You can join us online. Head over to freetalklive.com and you can enjoy the features waiting for you there. Once again, that's freetalklive.com. There's archives that go back for years. Just click and download as many shows as you like. You can subscribe to our podcast. Go to feeds.freetalklive.com. You'll find the RSS feeds you need for that there. That's feeds.freetalklive.com. We go to your phone calls and thoughts. David is on the line in Arizona. David, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Aria.
Yeah, good evening, Ian and Aria.
Welcome.
I'm an elected sheriff, a border sheriff in Arizona, so feel free to boo before we continue.
Okay. When you say you're a border sheriff, does that mean you're working for the state as a sheriff, just to clarify?
Yeah. Okay. I'm the elected sheriff for one of the four border counties in Arizona. This county has the largest border patrol station in the United States and the third largest in the United States. We have the largest ports of entry with Mexico.
I'm confused. I just need a little clarification that having, you know, run for sheriff myself, are you the sheriff of the county, or is like border sheriff a different position than just sheriff?
No, there's 15 counties in Arizona, and there's four that are on the border, and I'm in one of those border counties.
So you're a sheriff that happens to be. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and kind of the reason I'm calling in tonight, there's so much hype on this whole Title 42 thing. I think one of the last caller last night that called in to the captain was a woman talking about, you know, she had the right position on opposing mandates to do with the coronavirus, as I have also done. But when it came to the border stuff, she was the inevitable invasion, the caravans, the surge, all this kind of nonsense. And, you know, this, if you guys are familiar with the whole Title 42 issue, it's this boondoggle, this red herring thing. Yeah, it's in the news a lot right now. What it is, it's the thing that Trump started and then Biden continued that said, all the people coming across the border would be deported immediately without processing because of the fear that they all had COVID. So they wouldn't do any kind of processing or anything. And it's kind of weird. It turned into this thing where both the right and the left agree that people should be kept out of the U.S., but for different reasons. You know, the left wants to put a mask on everybody, PCR tests, vaccinations. The right, a lot of them say that's invalid, but they want to keep this health exclusion going for people crossing the border, but they don't mention any kind of a health issue anymore. And it's really weird. Like, we have two U.S. senators here are both Democrats, and it's also a gubernatorial election year, and they all call me to try to get little sound bites about how they are tough on the border, and I'll tell them, look, there's no border crisis. I was born here. I grew up here. You know, we don't need more Border Patrol agents. You know, they push me around. They push everybody else around.
Hold on a second.
You may remember, Ian, several years ago I wrote a book on this topic to try to sort of discuss why libertarians, some people that want the state to go away, why.
What was the book? It sounds kind of familiar. What was the book called?
Yeah, it was called Immigration, Individual versus National Borders, which basically, it made the point that you have the absolute right to invite or exclude anybody onto your property, but the nation doesn't have the right to create another border around your property and tell people that they can't come onto your property if it's a voluntary transaction. And Scott Horton did a nice long introduction for it, and Will Grigg did a blurb for it also.
How in the hell did you become sheriff? With your hold on a second.
I've been curious about that too. Since you said you were a sheriff, I was like, okay, he's got a right wing conservative talking point coming, and I've been waiting on it, and it's just not coming.
Your name is David.
Well, you know,
what's your name again?
David Hathaway.
David Hathaway.
You know, it's
from which county?
Yeah, I'm Santa Cruz County, Arizona, and if you want to read more of what I've written a lot for the Libertarian Institute and lewrockwell.com. And I just thought, well, I'm sick of the tyrants here, and I thought I would run for it and see what happens, not expecting to win.
God.
But it was, just knocking on thousands of doors. And I speak Spanish, and this is a largely Hispanic community. So, did a lot of Spanish media. I think about all of my interviews were Spanish media because all the TV and radio stations here are Spanish. So
that's amazing.
And I actually won in a landslide that I was replacing the longest serving sheriff in Arizona. He was there for 7 4-year terms. And so everybody and their brother wanted to run. There were 6 candidates.
Wow.
And I came out hard against all the mask mandates and vaccine passports and all that kind of stuff. And people told me, you shot yourself in the foot. You know, you cost yourself the election. And I thought, people are that dumb. I deserve to lose, and I don't have the desire to run anybody's life or anything. Everyone else campaigned on a crisis. We need more DUI checkpoints. We need a bigger drug war. And I did the opposite of that and just thinking, it'll be an opportunity to educate the public. But
that's
I didn't expect to win. But at the end, ultimately, I got 4 times as many votes as the guy who came in second place, so it was kind of surprising.
Congratulations. That's amazing.
I believe it because that's all we ever hear is, do we need more DUI checkpoints? We've got the caravans. We've got an immigration crisis, and you're coming out. You're saying, no, turn off the TV. Look outside your window. Everything's fine. And people go, he's right.
It's really weird. I live right along the border, and me and my wife take walks every night right along the border, and it's peaceful and everything, and all the networks have come to me and say, I've done ride-alongs with Fox News and ABC, CBS, NBC, with Telemundo, Univision, the Spanish and English networks, and they say, take me to the place where there's the big surge of people coming in waves across the border. And I say, well, I'll take you to the border, but all you're going to hear is the wind blowing and the birds chirping. It's just so much nonsense. It's just the sky is falling, the crisis mongering. And a really weird thing happened over the last 2 years. There's about 4 million legal visa holders in Mexico, and they wouldn't let any of them come across because of, COVID. Mm-hmm. So they turned them all away at the legal ports of entry. So a lot of them came across between the ports of entry. So these are people that have legal visas to enter in the U.S., but they were all turned around and deported under this Title 42 thing. So it made bigger numbers for the apprehension statistics by CBP and Border Patrol, because it's a problem they cause. You know, that's the formula for government action is create a crisis, articulate a crisis, and then present yourself as the solution. Mm-hmm. So they got bigger numbers through this Title 42 thing, which did immediate deportations of a lot of people that actually had visas, legal
right.
visas.
Right, so as you pointed out, no due process for these people. Just, sorry, COVID, you got to go, and then they're out. And
Said
Biden continued this thing. And just to clarify, since this is an elected position, you didn't have to have law enforcement experience to get it?
I didn't have to, but I did have, before I wrote that book, I did work for the DEA, and witnessed all the failed drug war and all that kind of stuff.
Back
to the numbers a little bit. So since there was no processing, 40% of the people coming across were repeat attempts, like repeat crossers. So it added to the statistics, made the Border Patrol Union all excited because, look, we can report bigger numbers.
But I don't blame them. If they had a legitimate visa to be here in the United States, and it's like, and there's no punishment for getting caught crossing, and they're like, I'm rightfully supposed to be there. All I have to do is get past this border, and then I'm fine. So I guess I blame them.
I'm disappointed in a lot of libertarians, too, because a lot of libertarians, anarchists would say that they kind of would lean towards the conservative position on the whole COVID thing and say, look, all these Mexicans are coming across the border and they don't have to take a PCR test or wear a mask or take a shot. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, be careful what you ask for, because next thing that happened, they made a vaccine mandate for people coming across the Mexican border and the Canadian border. And there was no opposition on the right because, they're Mexicans. There was no opposition on the left because, it's a health crisis. Everybody should get a shot. So it just left. And I, like I said, I was disappointed in a lot of supposed anarchists that they, they kind of took that neoconservative position on that issue.
Yeah.
And I think that's too bad.
David, I've got more questions for you. Do you have time?
Sure, yeah.
All right, more with David Hathaway. He is the sheriff. Apparently there's a libertarian sheriff out there, and he listens to our show.
To me, man.
Which is really amazing. Shocking, yes. This is like one of the best-kept libertarian secrets out there. I had no idea. There's more coming up here, because libertarians usually don't get higher election than dog catcher. It's Free Talk Live.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes, even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunnybay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer, excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up anything you want, right? right here. The number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And sometimes open phones really brings in some amazing stuff. That's why I love doing an open phone show, because you never know what you're going to get. And we started out the show talking about propaganda, news media, and then somebody called from Georgia about out-of-control cops, and then an actual sheriff from Nogales.
But it's not what you think, right?
No, it was not at all what I thought. I mean, it's easy to jump to a conclusion about, oh boy, you know, here comes some sort of right-winger or whatever.
Well, I mean, that was the assumption. I mean, he called and, you know, he made a joke. Yes, I'm a sheriff, so go ahead and get your boots out of the way. I mean, neither of us booed because, well, no. But wait a minute, this guy's listening to us, so let's hear him out, right?
Yeah, and we heard him out, and his name is David Hathaway, and he won election in the area of Nogales, Arizona, which I believe, David, you said was the number one border crossing area as far as traffic is concerned, like regular traffic, cars and such, going across the border there in Arizona. Relatively small population county, Santa Cruz County, I looked it up, it's about 46,000 people. You got elected for the first time to replace a four-year term sheriff there in the county.
David, and, I'm curious.
And you're a libertarian. I don't know if you use that word to describe yourself, but you definitely seem like it. You're pro-immigration. It seems like you are a critic of the war on drugs. And sorry, Aria had a question.
No, that was pretty much going to be my question. Yeah. Is, you know, what party you ran under, or is this a nonpartisan election?
Yeah, well, I would consider myself, you know, non-political, you know, if I have to use a word, anarchist or voluntarist, but nobody has ever been elected in this county other than in the Democrat Party. So when I was first going to run, I'd asked some different people, said, I'd like to run under no party or just independent. And they said, well, if you just want to make a statement, yeah, you could do that. But if you want to win, you have to run as a Democrat. This is one of those counties that's, I think it's 84%. Democrat. So that's how I ran.
Amazing.
But you were in a multiple candidate race, because like you said, this other guy, it sounded like he was retiring, and that's why he left the seat.
Yeah, he had been a city cop for 25 years. He retired from that, and then he was the sheriff for 28 years after that. So he was in his late 70s. And he had been doing basically the same thing in this community, law enforcement, for 50-some years.
And a bunch of people threw their hats into the race. You said it was like a six-way race, and you just shut them all down. You went door-to-door. You speak Spanish, so you did a ton of Hispanic radio and television and such. And that really helped you connect with the community out there. And they must have liked what they heard about you being absolutely sane when it came to welcoming people to the United States.
Yeah. You know, I would challenge anybody to find any negative crisis type pitch that I made during the campaign. I just stayed very positive. When I'd knock on doors, I'd ask people about their families. My wife would go with me. She wrote a letter to every person we talked to. Some people act like it's a curse to get petition signatures, but I got 10 times as many signatures as I needed because I get a name and an address with each one, and my wife would stay up to midnight every night writing letters, individualized letters, not photocopy, handwritten letters to these people, wrote thousands of letters. Wow. And in this day and age when it's just text message and email, that meant a lot to people. And to this day, people still come hug my wife that she doesn't know or she doesn't remember at the grocery store and say, oh, thank you so much for that letter. I still have it. But it was just old-fashioned campaigning, like the way Ron Paul would campaign.
And she was writing letters just as a thank you to them? I mean, it wasn't clear what the letter was for.
A personalized letter, you know, like if they mentioned something about their son or daughter was in the hospital, or if they had a pet dog, or they had a nice garden with tomatoes. She would take notes during the conversation and write a personalized letter.
This was
letter.
When you were going door-to-door talking to people?
When we were going door-to-door. Yeah, just trying to be the friendly campaign, just saying positive things, telling people I wanted to be an ambassador for our county to get out the positive. Never said any kind of a crisis, you know, about anything, you know, where the government needs to come in and manage your life and tell you what to do. You know, I told
everybody
else is
pushing fear, of course, as you know, you need the sheriff to save you from all the boogeymen out there.
And unfortunately, the other border sheriffs here, unfortunately, they realize there's a lot of retired people in Arizona that are easy to scare, and that's their voter base. They try to scare these people and say, oh, it's so out of control. If it wasn't for me, you need to give me more money. You need to give me another helicopter. I need to hire more people, higher wages, bigger jails, you know, because all these people are going to overrun you and kill you, and they're all murderers and drug dealers and rapists and whatnot. Like, so they capitalize on that. They know it's not true, but they know their voter base. Like, Arizona has a nice climate and they have a lot of people that come retire out here. But
I have a question about that, though, because you mentioned that it's primarily Democrats. So how did this fear-mongering about immigrants work prior to COVID-19? Because the mythology, at least, is that Democrats are pro-immigration.
Well, yeah, and In my county, it's primarily Democrat. The other border counties, like, for example, Cochise County, Yuma County, they're primarily Republican. A lot of retired people from the Midwest and from the East Coast that come out here. And like I said, it's easy to scare them. So Arizona does the same in the governor race and the Senate race, you know, congressional races. It's kind of really weird now. I've had both of our U.S. senators, they're Democrats. But they have gone into border crisis mode. They've called me and said, hey, can you give me a quote? People are saying I'm not tough enough on the border. And I'm saying, no, you're a border crisis monger. Like both of our U.S. senators that are Democrats, Mark Kelly and Kirsten Sinema, have both opposed lifting this Title 42, this thing that says everybody needs to be deported in an expedited manner with no processing, because they think they want to get the conservative votes in this state too. So they're becoming border crisis mongers. And we're also in a governor election year where there's gubernatorial race. I have been called and they come by and meet me, all of the governor candidates, and they all want me to give them a quote about how they're tough on the border. And I'm like, you're talking to the wrong guy.
Wow.
I mean, it doesn't matter if they're Democrat or Republican. They're all trying to push this border fear because they think that's the formula for getting elected. And I said, I'll take you and show you the border. I live right along the border. You can see that it's peaceful. And that
how many of them took you up on the offer?
One did. One named Katie Hobbs. She's the current Secretary of State for the state of Arizona, and she's running for governor. And the Libertarian candidate, Drew Heaton, of course, you know, she has a very common sense attitude on the whole thing, but she took me up on the border tour.
So you've been in office now. You got elected in 2020. You've been there more than a year and a half at this point. What have you managed to end the war on drugs? Like, give us some success stories here.
You know, well, I've done a lot of podcasts. You know, I've done Spike Cohen and Tom Woods and Mark Victor and different people. And that's kind of one of the things I can't do anything about, because I would like to go into the jail and just release anybody that had anything related to a substance abuse type charge. But I would be found in contempt of court. You know, they're in there under court orders being held either most of them are pre-conviction with the county jails. After they're convicted, they're sent to a state prison. You know, if I did that, I would be out on my ear.
I want to hear more about it. Hang on, David. You can come back and talk more about this.
There would be a constitutional crisis, certainly, but they couldn't fire you.
David, do you have time for another segment?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Stand by. Well, contempt of court, they could put him inside his own jail.
Who's going to arrest him? He's the sheriff.
The court guards, probably. We'll continue here in moments. It is an interesting question.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. More than 3,000 civilians are dead because of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The United Nations made that announcement Monday, but the Office of the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights believes the actual number is much higher. Their figure shows at least another 3,000 have been hurt in the fighting. The UN specifically mentioned multiple regions, including Mariupol, are places where there are allegations of numerous civilian casualties. A tornado caused a lot of damage in far eastern Oklahoma Monday night. The twister hitting the community of Monroe, and there are reports of damaged homes and downed trees, but no injuries so far. Monroe is about 5 miles from the Arkansas border. Most of northern Oklahoma is dealing with tornado watches, strong rain, and hail. Thanks for listening. This is USA Radio News. A grand jury to investigate former President Donald Trump is seated in Fulton County, Georgia.
Potential grand jurors in Atlanta, Georgia, arrived at a downtown courthouse Monday as part of a county prosecutor's investigation to see if President Trump and others tried to overturn Georgia's 2020 election results. After 90 minutes, a grand jury was seated and will proceed to gather evidence. Fulton County District Attorney Democrat Fannie Willis is overseeing the investigation. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Prime.
First responders in Southern California say they've seen a dramatic uptick in the number of serious injuries in illegal immigrants since a new 30-foot-tall border wall was built in 2019. Dr. Amy Liepart with the University of California San Diego Health saying the provider has reported 16 people dying in the last 3 years compared to zero deaths before the new wall was put up. This is USA Radio News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Live. Phone's open. You can join us here. 603-283-6160. We're going to continue with what is turning into an interview with David Hathaway, who called in tonight. And I recognize his book from years ago. David, you are the author of Immigration, Individual versus National Borders. And the title didn't necessarily ring the bell, but I went and I just looked it up on Amazon, and I definitely recognize that cover. Did you sponsor this show many years ago for that book, or did you just send us some copies? Because I've definitely...
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I was an advertiser for that, and the reason I wrote that book, it was a personal exploration where I didn't understand why some libertarians would support the state on border enforcement, where they think, yeah, we can use taxes, which is theft, you know, it's not a voluntary wealth transfer, use taxes to support border guards, and I thought, well, I didn't understand, especially certain Austrian economists, not all of them, like Hans Hermann Hoppe and Murray Rothbard. Some of them kind of suggested that you still needed, state-run border enforcement before you had, you know, a totally free society. And I never understood that, so I went on a personal exploration. And after I read everything they wrote, I wrote a book to refute. It's a real niche book. It's never going to be really a widely read, widely popular book, but it's for libertarians that don't understand why there are certain anarchists, certain voluntarists that hate the state and they want the state to go away in every area except border enforcement. So that's why I wrote it, just
so
to
nuts.
Refute those arguments.
Good. Well,
I have a hard time believing those types of libertarians and anarchists are even real. You know, I mean, I know that intellectually they are, but it's such a strange concept to me.
Yeah, it's just it's an issue that they're just holding on to for some reason. And I guess you can learn all about it. Check out his book.
Yeah, like Harry Brown, a candidate, libertarian presidential candidate, said years ago. He said, like, you know, generally everybody says that they believe in freedom, whether they're on the right or on the left, but they have that one little issue that they, something they want the state to do for them. And he said, like,
sadly,
why don't you give up your little thing? I'll give up my little thing and then we can get rid of the income tax. But sadly, that's it. Some people are a statist on one little thing, whether it's like socialized medicine or free education or something like that. And I suspect that that's it, that they're relying on that Social Security check, and they think those rascally Mexicans are going to come in and take my Social Security money, and it won't be there for me. That somehow they want the state, some they've given in to this false promise that the state's going to take care of you. That's the only thing I can
amazing.
See, like Aria, and I think Ian, you were saying that too, is that they, in some way, they still want the state around. They don't realize how illegitimate it is, and, you know, since it's funded coercively, you know, through theft, anything it does, you know, can't be legitimate. And plus, there's no price signals. Like, how do you have, like, something like the sheriff's office, like me, somebody just picks a number out of the air and says, you need 100 deputies or 200 deputies or 100 prison guards. Like, that's not a market decision. That's not a price signal. You don't have market price signals telling you how much security that people want you to provide.
That's
like,
completely
maybe
arbitrary.
Maybe people would provide all of their security and there'd be nothing like institutional security services. Maybe there'd be more, maybe there'd be less, but it's not a market creation. It's not a price signal. So it's something like the sheriff's office that I run. It's not a market creation. It has no legitimacy.
I want to get back to the issue. You know, you're an actual sheriff in Arizona, Santa Cruz County, elected sheriff. You described yourself earlier as a voluntarist, which I don't know if that's ever happened in the history of libertarian activism or people running for office. So first of all, congratulations for that. But of course, it means we have to hold your feet to the fire to some extent. So let's go back to the drug war issue. You mentioned that if you were to let people out of jail, and I presume that means that as a sheriff, you have jurisdiction over the actual county facility there. If you were to let people out of jail who are in there for drug charges, that you yourself would then be found in contempt of court and likely be put in that jail?
Well, yeah, if there would be a mechanism, there's no higher law enforcement official. There's the governor has the state police and the attorney general. I mean, theoretically, maybe they could swear out some kind of a warrant for malfeasance of office and come arrest me. But, you know, historically, the sheriff was the only law enforcement officer in the United States that came over from English common law. And there, all these three-letter federal agencies are, you know, 20th century creations, you know, that didn't exist in the days of the founding fathers. And then even city police departments, like a guy named Robert Peel created the first police department in London, England, and then that was replicated in the U.S., New York, Chicago, Los Angeles.
Right. All of this is sort of what I was alluding to when we were going off on the previous break, is that you would be creating a constitutional crisis. There's no doubt about that. You know, the American establishment was scrambled to figure out how to address this issue. But
and
you
address
would,
it by that, they mean punish you somehow. But if you are indeed the highest law enforcement official,
they would be scrambling to find some sort of legal authority that would allow them to arrest you or to hold you in contempt or anything like that. And what they would ultimately find is, because they borrowed this from English common law, the position of the sheriff being an elected official, there is nothing they would be able to do to you legally.
Well, yeah, the sheriff is the supposedly the highest law enforcement officer in the county, and supposedly back to the Border Patrol agents in my county, over 1,000 of them. Like I said, the biggest Border Patrol station and the third biggest in the country are in my county. Wow. Technically, the sheriff can exclude anybody else from operating in a law enforcement function in the county, but you can imagine me telling the Border Patrol that they can't operate in this county. You know,
I mean,
what am I going to do
could,
about it? You know,
right?
We're the smallest county in Arizona, and, you know, I could say it, but, you know, they would just laugh at me. And
yeah. Okay, but let's get, but you have the legal authority, and they don't.
They'll come up with something, well, there's no doubt. I mean, the feds will come up with something.
Like somebody like DEA or ATF, if there's a federal agency that's going to do a search warrant in this county, you know, kick in somebody's door like the, you know, the Crypto Six or something like that, they technically are supposed to, and they usually do, call the sheriff's office to let the sheriff know we're going to be operating in your county.
Right.
Sometimes they don't, but, you know, it's...
Well, arrest them for trespassing, then.
Yeah, they're going to do it anyway. They usually operate under federal warrants, not always, you know, signed by a federal magistrate in Arizona. But, you know, like, and a lot of times what they do is in secret, and they try to co-opt the local law enforcement agencies. Mm-hmm. They try to get you to join their task force, you know, and they'll pay the salary or pay the overtime for a deputy sheriff or a city police officer just to get you on their side. But, you know,
sure, because they're going to take... They're going to, what do they give, like 80% in some cases of seizures to local agencies?
And let me tell you something funny about that, Ian, that happened, speaking of the civil asset forfeiture. Yeah,
Well, before we get too far into that, I just want to bring it back to that point that you can do something about this. It's just not a fight you want to fight. Now, I have no issue with that. You know, you don't want to take on the federal government and the powers that be and create this constitutional crisis. I get that. But that's different from saying you can't.
I do a lot of those, Aria. Yeah, I do a lot of those things and have victories. Like, you know, like
when
I first came into office, I knew there was going to be something like the vaccine passport. So I read up on it. I learned about, you know, informed consent, Nuremberg Code, American with Disabilities Act, the HIPAA Act, all these reasons why you can't mandate somebody to undergo a certain health procedure. So sure enough, when I was here 2 weeks in mid-January, when I'd just gotten here, I got a call from the county attorney's office, the elected county attorney, saying, do you want to make vaccines mandatory for all sheriff's office employees? Because they rolled it out in a tier system, three stages in Arizona, and law enforcement, first responders, was the first ones to get the vaccine because they have contact with the public. So they said, do you want to make it mandatory as a condition of employment? And I said, no. I mean, I'm abiding by the legal principle of informed consent. I don't even know if they get the shot or they don't get the shot. And they said, okay, that makes it easier on us. 2 weeks later, one of the board of supervisors called and said, what do you think you're doing over there? Because it set a precedent. I was the first one that opposed it. So the city police opposed it. They said 50% of the police officers aren't getting the shot. You know,
David, do you have time for one more segment with us?
Sure.
David Hathaway is here. He's a self-described voluntarist, pro-immigration, anti-drug war sheriff in Arizona. There's more coming up.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Have you ever had one or more silver or gray-looking fillings in your teeth? These are mercury fillings that off-gas mercury vapor and release mercury particles while chewing food. Mercury destroys the nerves in your digestive tract, causing constipation and candida overgrowth. It also kills or cripples other cells on contact. If you have a health challenge, I invite you to consider that mercury may be a causative agent. In addition to dental fillings, mercury comes from seafood and vaccines. Detoxifying mercury has never been easier than now. Thanks to advancements in science, you can now feed your body the sulfur-rich protein known as whey protein concentrate and be supporting your body's glutathione production. Glutathione is the body's most effective means of removing mercury from the body. Green Metal Whey Protein Powder is the world's first and only cold, sterilized, and non-denatured whey protein concentrate on the market. To order, go to bestwheyprotein.net. That's bestwheyprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world. And that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
We still do email.
Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
If you want to join us, 603-283-6160, that's 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's been Ian and Aria, but all of a sudden...
we've got nobody.
Nobody's here. And always good to have you here, nobody. We are on the phone with David Hathaway. He is the current sheriff in Santa Cruz County, Arizona. So the relatively small population, about 45, 46,000 people. Border county where Nogales is located. And he is a self-described voluntarist sheriff. And we're talking about one of his success stories. He hasn't ended the war on drugs yet, as far as hasn't released everyone from the jail because of concerns over what might happen to him.
Which I completely understand.
Completely
I realize I sounded like I was probably criticizing her during that last time.
Yeah.
It's not a criticism at all. I understand. It's not a fight for everyone, dude.
The state's scary.
It's a dumb fight for one to voluntarily take on, for sure. Okay. 100%.
It sure would be entertaining, though, if somebody did. But either way, David, you were telling us some success stories that you have had as the sheriff there. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I also noticed during the break, apparently you found my book from 6 years ago somewhere on the shelf.
Was that only 6 years ago? I feel like it's so much longer.
He did. I was complimenting the cover. I really like the design of it. The only thing I don't like is that I think the title of the book should have been in a different color text so it, you know, popped out from the background a bit.
Yeah, I think so, because it's kind of confusing. But anyway,
but the artwork is great on it, so kudos to whoever did your artwork.
Yeah, and that's a modified version of, you know where it says E-E, Pluribus Unum, mm-hmm. it actually has it reversed around. So it says
E Unum Pluribus.
The E Pluribus Unum means from, from many one, and I flipped the wording so it means from one to many, you know, splitting
nice.
Up the state. So
interesting. Anyway, I didn't even notice
yeah,
that.
Back to what I was saying about the when I'd been in office for 2 weeks, I knew this whole thing about vaccine passports was right around the corner. So I got a call from the county attorney saying they could make it mandatory because we were the first organization to be offered the shot. They did it in tiers, and we were the first tier because law enforcement, first responders, a lot of contact with the public. And fortunately, I had read up on it because I expected that to happen, and I told them, no, I'm going to abide by abide by the legal principle of informed consent, and it's a violation of the American with Disabilities Act and the HIPAA Act, the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, that you can't ask anybody about their health decisions or mandate any health decisions, and it's against the Nuremberg Code. So I told them all that, and they said, oh, okay, that makes it easier for us. But then it set the precedent, and then the fire departments and the police departments were looking to see what I did, and then I got a call from one of our county board of supervisors, an elected official, saying, David, what do you think you're doing? The less than half the people in the local police department have refused to take the shot. And he demanded to know how many people in the sheriff's office have gotten the shot. And I said, I have no idea.
Yeah, not going to ask.
I'm not allowed to ask that information. but you know, you had mentioned about civil asset forfeiture. If I could jump back to that, sure. Another weird thing that happened is all these sheriff's departments and police departments rely on this stolen money that's just taken from people and no criminal charges are filed. Mm-hmm. They process it through the federal government. The feds keep 20% and give 80% back to the local entity. Well, a legislator in Arizona introduced a bill that said you have to have an underlying crime before you can take somebody's money. You have to have a conviction on an underlying crime, like say that somebody kidnapped a family member of yours and you paid ransom, and then somebody found the ransom money in possession of the guy who stole it. Well, you know, then you could take the money back and forfeit it because there's an underlying crime. But guess what? All the sheriffs in Arizona just went nuts, and they wrote a letter from the Sheriff's Association to the governor and to the legislator saying, and they wanted it to be unanimous, that all the sheriffs would sign it and say, we need this money. It's essential to our operations. And the only change in the law, Ian and Aria and nobody, the only change was they tweaked the wording to say you need to have an underlying crime before you can take the money. And they're used to just grabbing money and just taking it, and then you have to claim it and try to get it back and sue
which
the government.
Expensive.
And another weird thing that's happening, you know, all these people that want to build the wall on the border. I tell people, look what happened in East Berlin. The walls don't just keep people out. They keep your people from leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 years ago, they started a pilot project here on the border, searching the cars that are leaving and taking their money.
Whoa.
The federal officials searching your car, taking your money under civil asset forfeiture. It was intermittent. It was a pilot program, but now it's full time. They've built a full time facility southbound. And I tell people, look, you want them to build the wall? Do you want this to be East Berlin, Iron Curtain? They're going to search you going out. If you're so sick of the lack of freedom here and you want to become an expatriate and move to Mazatlan or Cozumel and take mm-hmm. your gold coins and your money with you, they're going to search your car and take it on the way out. You're
Holy
making these
crap.
Little choke points where these statist individuals can focus in on you and dig through your car and take your money. Like, if there wasn't a wall, you could just cross between the ports of entry. So, that's just another thing of this whole civil asset forfeiture. But the sheriffs called me individually and said, David, this needs to be unanimous. All the sheriffs need to sign this letter to oppose this change to civil asset forfeiture where you need to have an actual crime. So I refused to do it. And to answer Aria's point, like, you know, kind of what am I able to do to oppose some of this stuff? Yeah, I haven't turned everybody loose from the jail. But there are little victories like that, you know, where I have, you know, stopped the vaccine mandate that was developing in the county here, and I've opposed civil asset forfeiture. Might not make a big difference, but, you know,
victories. There's a lot to be said about little victories, right? Because, I mean, you make this grand victory or this grand fight of releasing everyone from jail and then taking on the federal government. Oh, look, you end up in prison for 45 years and you ended up not helping anyone. Yeah. Sure, that may be an ideological or a moral victory as opposed to actually being out there and doing things on the ground and actually having little victories. So it's not
like becoming the black sheep of all the sheriffs, the one guy who refused to join with the rest of them. Boy, they must be pissed.
Oh, and you know, people don't like me. You're exactly right, Ian. They don't like me. And the county government people here, they all, over the last 2 years, became these little petty authoritarian tyrants. I knew all these guys before that on a first-name basis, and mm-hmm. I thought they were just benign little, you know, administrative bean counters. But once they had the power, man, they told everybody you got to wear a mask and shut down businesses, shut down churches, you know, social distancing. They made a rule where you had to ask permission to meet with 10 or more people. You know, and I said, yeah, it's a violation of the First Amendment, you know, freedom of assembly, freedom of religion.
So you spoke out against the county administrators saying you weren't going to enforce their rules?
Yeah, I did, and they had these little rat fink snitches following me around. Like, the churches out here, they all were just cowards, and they all shut down. There was one church building where a group called the Constitutionalists of Southern Arizona, something like that, they started having meetings, and I went out there. Nobody was wearing masks, and we had a mask mandate at the time. And I was the county manager called me and said, I heard you were out there talking to 150 people, and you didn't have a mask, and nobody else had a mask on. But I was very vocal about, hey, I'm not gonna tell somebody, you know, what to do with their own health. And at that point, there had already been examples of people looking at the masks of school kids under a microscope and seeing mold colonies and bacteria colonies and breathing in all that junk, you know. And I was very vocal about it. And I was during the campaign as well. And like I said, early on, people thought it would cost me the election, and ultimately.
That's amazing. Well, just absolutely glorious. I mean, you just came in on this. Nobody, you have a question for David since you were late to the affair?
No, I'm just enjoying listening to somebody who's, you know, actually doing his job with integrity. That's a rare thing in this world.
Yeah, kudos.
And even though supposedly the sheriff is the highest law enforcement officer, they can do whatever they want to do. Like Russ Ulbrich is just an hour up the road in Tucson for whatever, two life sentences and plus 40 years. And for people that don't know, you can send him things. You can send him books. You can put things on his commissary account. You can't visit him.
No.
I've talked to his mom, Lynn, and it's kind of like almost like a communications unit, like a little mini max thing in the federal prison up there in Tucson. But yeah, I don't want to become like him. I mean,
sure,
he didn't do anything that was any kind of a crime, but you
it's
know,
so weird
they can
knowing
come
that
up
a sheriff is the one saying that.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Congrats, David.
This has been a great call, David. Is there anything else you wanted to share with our listeners tonight? I appreciate your time.
No, I mean, if anyone wants to send me an email, I have a real easy email address, just sheriffdavidhathaway@gmail.com. No weird characters or anything like that. And like I said, if anyone wants to read more things I've written a lot for lourockwell.com and the Libertarian Institute. But thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, feel free to call us anytime if you've got a victory you want to share.
Will you come run for sheriff in Cheshire County?
He seems pretty dug in down there. Aria,
yeah, but you could come to New Hampshire, join the Free State Project, and be sheriff here.
That'd be amazing.
Oh, thank you, guys.
David, thanks, man. Appreciate your time spending a whole hour with us here tonight. I'm sure he has a lot of things on his plate as sheriff of Santa Cruz County in Arizona, and hopefully we'll hear from him again. I would love to get updates on occasion on, like, you know, some more victories, because it sounds like a really interesting situation down there. More coming up. Hour 3 is on the way. This is
My name is Stephen Hewer. In 1976, when I was 15 years of age, I was poisoned from two mercury dental fillings. The mercury came off these fillings in such high amounts that I went from having excellent health to having chronic constipation and candida overgrowth. I could barely eat any food for 4 years, which resulted in adrenal exhaustion by the age of 20. Despite years of diet experimentation, juice fasting, and intestinal cleansing, it was not until I took certain prescription sulfur amino acids that I healed my eliminatory function and eliminated my candida overgrowth. Later, it was not until I began to consume Green Meadow Whey that I eliminated my mercury burden 100%. Had Green Meadow Whey existed in 1976, I could have healed my gut and body decades earlier. Green Meadow Whey supplies a very high concentration of the sulfur amino acids needed to fuel glutathione production. Glutathione removes mercury and virtually all other toxins from the body. Set your body free from the burden of heavy metals and environmental toxins with Green Meadow Whey. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net or call 888-988-3325.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.